We're back for another episode here. I am your host of Hanshin Tigers English News H10, the soaking, dripping, wet T-Ray. Today is July the 27th. And with me, down the road, probably also equally soaky, drippy, sweaty, JD. How you doing, buddy? Am I right?
Yeah, pretty much all three of those. It's a combination of the nasty rain and the nasty humidity. And sorry to leave you guys hanging for the last month now, but I'm back and ready to go.
Well, it's good to have you back and good to hear your voice. And of course, we've also got with us halfway across the Pacific, probably not so drippy wet, but maybe feeling equally hot. And that's Sanjay. How you doing, buddy?
Aloha, brother T-Ray and brother JD. I'm doing very well, but actually, you may or may not know, we're hunkered down at home because there's a hurricane on the way here. So we got a hurricane watch for Douglas.
That's kind of an unusual thing for Hawaii, or is it pretty common?
No, it happens once every so often. I mean, there is such a thing as hurricane season, and they usually miss us. But this one looks to be like traveling right over the island of Oahu in a few hours. So we shall see what happens.
We've got a great show for you all today as we talk about the red-hot Hanshin Tigers. And we're also going to talk about the players that are riding the pine and what role they have on this team. But before we get into that, let's get into the rumors and news. So the last time that we talked together, gents, was July the 13th, and the day before that, Joe Gunkel had been called up to the top squad, and the day after that, he was deactivated due to lower back pains. But he stayed down for the bare minimum and got recalled on July the 24th. So I was a little bit worried there. You know, there was a point, and we'll get to this in just a second, but there was a point where we only had like three healthy imports plus Yenqing Liu. You know, and we started the season with eight, and we had like, you know, four guys on the shelf. So people who were saying that we signed too many, maybe they realized that it was not enough. Speaking of which, Justin Bohr also spent some time not on the injured list per se, but he did injure his buttock muscles, his bum, his tush, his fanny. I think it was on the final play of Saturday's game, July the 18th, when he dove for a ground ball and then he dove to first base and touched the base with his glove. And I don't know when he stretched it or pulled it, but he was out on Sunday as well as Tuesday and Wednesday, came back on Thursday, I believe, as a pinch hitter and was in the lineup this past weekend. But a little bit of a worry there, you know, just when he was starting to settle in nicely, he had to miss three full games. So it's good to have him back. The bad news is that we have a couple of more serious injuries that hit us later in the week. The first of which was Kento Itohara, who really was just catching fire. He was on a 12-game hit streak, had a couple of home runs already, which tied his career high. As low as that sounds, you know, that's pretty impressive. And he was just getting clutch hits left, right, and center. Broke his hamate bone, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, in his right hand, which is his throwing hand, and he will probably be out for two or more months. They say that's how long that one takes to heal. So really bad news there. Captain Kent is out for the time being.
It's too bad, too, because the same thing happened to him 2 years ago as well. He was really hot, and then he got injured and was out for pretty much the whole season, wasn't it, toward the end of the season?
Yeah, it was 2017, yep. Yeah. And between those, he had a nice long Ironman streak going of 312 games, and that is down the toilet. So really unfortunate, you know, not just for him personally, but also for the team, of course. And we've got some positions to fill, obviously, and we can talk about this now. But Kinami has moved over to second base, and Hojo has started at shortstop. And that's been an adventure in fielding, has it not? Kinami's been fine, actually. Hojo has had a couple of errors and same old thing with him, but the good news is he's started to heat up at the plate. So anyways, the final injury in this one is something that was not like, it didn't happen at any particular moment, but Suguru Iwazaki, who had become our eighth inning guy by virtue of Kyuji being taken down from the throne, He also has been deactivated. That happened on July the 24th, and it's due to soreness in his left elbow. When you hear soreness and elbow or shoulder with a pitcher, you always cringe and hope for the best and fear the worst. There's no word yet on how serious it is, but we hope that he has a full recovery. And, of course, the speedier the better, but we don't want to rush him back only to have him re-aggravated, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So that's the hospital report right there. We're used to hearing the reports about COVID-19, but this one is straight injuries all the way through. And we need our health, guys, as a team. We need these guys to be back, plus the other guys that started the year injured. Guys like Kuwahara, Shimamoto, John Edwards has been hurt for a good stretch of time as well. Jeffrey Marte. And the list seems to be getting longer and longer. One more bit of good news, and we can talk about this in the predictions later, but Tetsuto Yamada also may be deactivated due to fatigue, and we're facing the Swallows next, so that's nothing but good news for us. Not that I ever hope anyone gets hurt, but not having to face him is a plus. Any other rumors or news for us, folks?
Yeah, I got a little something from the papers. This is a little bit dated now. For the week of July 14 to 19, the Hanshin Tigers say that merchandise featuring Mr. Justin Bour has led all players. Includes his what they call the replica uniform, basically his jerseys, and some towels are like sold out. So they say that, you know, in years past, our friends Randy Messenger and Matt Merton had strong sales, but to have this happen so early in his first year is some kind of record, apparently.
Well, you know, Zorny wrote a piece for H10 a couple of years back, and it's a really good one. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. It's 10 things that new fans need to know. And one of the things he said was, don't invest in Gaijin merchandise in their first year. And apparently that's been ignored on this one. But he's right. I mean, he has a case, right? These guys tend to flame out and people get real excited about stuff. I mean, who's walking around wearing their Rosario jerseys proudly now?
That's what I was just going to say. Anybody who's got a Rosario jersey, if they still have it, it's tucked way in the back of the closet, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's good news for Bour, obviously. You know, I mean, I think part of it is his play on the field and the fact that we have a genuine slugger for the first time in, I don't know, a decade since Craig Berzel, but also the fact that he's just got that personality, right? I mean, he's doing the fireball thing after his home runs, and you know, he's had some awkward slides on the base path, and he's been out on those, but yet at the same time, they've come at times of the game where it hasn't been so crucial, so people have been able to kind of laugh it off and just be like, oh, Justin, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, good on him, and I'm hoping to get some Bour swag as well at some point this season. Sorry, Zorny, I might have to break your rule. All right, guys, before we get into the recaps, we've got some shout-outs to do, and we want to thank all of our patrons. The list is growing week to week, and I appreciate every one of you, but special thanks goes out to Richard Geiwitz, who has been with us for a while now. Actually, in the first wave of Patreon, he was there, and he's with us with this new wave where we're getting some really good stuff going on. So shout out to him. A shout out to Tom Zilla at Being Kansai. Follow at Being Kansai on Twitter for everything you want to know about this region of Japan. They are on top of things, and they are a great follow. Thank you to Tom Zilla and the Being Kansai crew. And finally, William Schofield, who is lined up to do a Koshien tour with me. We want to do a shout out to him. And as long as fans are allowed into the stands towards the end of the year, I'm hoping that we can get to a game together. So, William, this one's for you. So here we go, folks. We have got a recap of 12 games, and this is the first time we're recapping 12 because we've had rainouts the last two podcast shows. But we went the full 12. We had 9 of those at home and 3 on the road. Sanjay, you and I predicted a 7-5 record.
Yes, we did.
They outdid us. Yes! They look great in this 12-game stretch, so let's get to it. We start with the Tuesday, July the 14th game, which I was at Koshien with Akiyama on the mound. We took that one 6-3. Akiyama with a rough start, a couple of uncharacteristic walks from him, but Umeno with a big stick, bases loaded. First pitch, he swung and hit a double, which scored a couple of runs, I believe. And then Kinami with a sac fly to tie things up at 3, and he also had the insurance home run at the end of the game. Hit the left field pole. 6-3 win. We followed that the next game with kind of a hard one to watch. It was a really long game. Garcia was on the mound for this one, and we never had the lead, but we did tie it up late at 4 Ito had hit a home run to keep us in it, and then a sac fly to tie it, I believe. And then they got a couple of runs. Justin Bour hit a home run to pull us within one. But then the bullpen, Kazuo Ito and Kosuke Baba, blew the doors wide open, and it went from 6-5 to 9-5 real quick, and that's how this one ended. So we lost that one, but then after that, things got real hot real quick. We went on a 6-game undefeated streak that started on Thursday. 6-4 win, Fukudome with the game-tying double and the game-winning RBI. This was the first signs of him coming to life this season. And Sanjay, what was our last show about again? Can you remind me?
Rocking chairs.
Yeah, rocking chairs. Yeah, Fukudome comes to life. Nomi shows that the end is maybe not so near for him. And QG has come back, and we'll get to that in a bit, but he's thrown a couple of shout-out innings as well. So there you go. Kosuke Fukudome, the hero. Jerry Sands also with a home run. And Ken Ichinakata, we'll see you later, because hopefully this is the last we see of him for a good long time. He was downright awful for the second straight start. And that's all I've got for that series, but we took 2 out of 3 from the Swallows, who were in first place when this series started and have been in second place ever since. And we're hoping that after we face them early this week, they'll be out of second place forever. Any thoughts on this series, guys?
Well, I think that it's obvious that Fukudome and Nomi and QG were listening to our show from last time, and I think we should talk about them more often so that they'll be, you know, have a fire lit under them.
They were very offended by our words, yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's jump into the next one, which came against the Dragons, and we lost 3 straight to them in their barn to start this season, or near the start of this season. Now was our chance to get revenge, and we were hoping to go 2 of 3, but we did one better than that. 3 straight. Aoyagi nice and steady in the opener. We win 4-1. Itohara with a bit of a lucky infield hit, and I think this was against Yudai Ono, who had no hit us last season. We got a couple of lucky hits in this one, which just kind of really like shook him up a little bit and just got us going. And we ended up, as I said, taking this 4-1. And Jerry Sands with an RBI double in this one as well. Sands really starting to come to life in recent games, so we're looking good. The next game. Actually, Yuki Nishi threw a complete game, and were it not for one bad inning, it could have been a complete game shutout. But Oyama hits a home run, and the Dragons gave us a bunch of runs by walking a bunch of guys, and I think there were some errors and fielder's choices in there as well. I wouldn't say that we were dominant, but we certainly took advantage of a very bad team. And the interesting thing about this one to me was, guys, after the game, with Nishi on the Heroes podium, I don't know if you caught this, but he, first of all, before anything, apologized.
Yeah, caught that one.
Yeah, so Bunshin newspaper or magazine or whatever you want to call it, they're kind of a bit of a tabloid, but they apparently caught him in a little bit of scandalous stuff, cheating on his wife, sneaking across prefectural borders when he shouldn't have to meet a mistress. And so he apologized to the fans and to his family on the podium, which I thought was really classy. It took a lot of guts. He didn't dance around it or ignore it or try to deny it or anything like that. So he faced it. He faced the music, and good for him. Again, like I said on Twitter as well, I don't condone what he did, but that's also not my business. But I do applaud him for manning up on that. The next game, it's against the Dragons again, of course, to clean things up, and Iwasada kind of sputtered in this one. He didn't do great, but the Dragons again gifting us a lot. I think there was they had tied the game back up, I think, at 3, and then the following inning or a couple innings later, there were 4 walks, 1 error, and a sac fly to give us 3 runs on no hits, which was pretty hilarious. And we are at 500 for the first time this season since we were 0-0. So there you go. That means that we are 12-12 at this point. After a 2-10 start, we go 10-2 in our next 12 games. Red hot Hanshin Tigers here. Any more thoughts on this series, guys, against the Dragons?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to be on the receiving end of some of these breaks, you know, because usually it's the other way around. So, you know, the Itohara hit, you know, it was a ground ball that stayed fair, and it, you know, was a swing, full swing bunt and so on. All those things, them making errors, then, you know, and uncharacteristically sometimes, but you know, so I think it's karma. It's, you know, it came back to help us out.
Yeah, we're also talking about like an unsteady bullpen of ours that, you know, for the first 12 games of the year could not close the door on anybody, and now it's another team's bullpen that's kind of given back to us and letting us beat up on some relief pitchers. So that was nice as well. So we move into the final home three-game series, and this one is against the Hiroshima Carp, who have given us fits in recent years, but they have actually been uncharacteristically bad this year. And it's not to say that we could have swept them, but there was opportunity there. We ended up actually splitting this one right down the middle with one win on Friday, on Tuesday, a tie on Wednesday, and a loss on Thursday. We'll go through these one at a time. 9-4 win on Tuesday with us getting four home runs at Koshien for the first time in, what did they say it was? Like 7 years? 9 years? I don't know. It's been a long time since we had four home runs in a single game at Koshien. Those being a Sands game-tying home run, an Itohara go-ahead home run, an Oyama clincher, and Hojo throwing the or hammering the last nail into their coffin. That was Hojo's first hit of the year. So good on him. They also got a couple of home runs in this one as well, but obviously our four were enough to get the job done. So really exciting to see us hitting the ball so well. And I've noticed a bit of an uptick in strikeouts, but have you noticed the huge uptick in home runs this year, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing to see these guys producing this much. It's like, what team am I watching here?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the ball. But it seems like every team might be experiencing a bit of an increase. But at the same time, like, we're typically ranked like 10th or 11th out of 12 teams in NPB in home runs. And I think now we're like tied for fourth. So it's not just the ball. It's actually our guys. And I think really having depth in the lineup is a big thing. You know, when you've got multiple guys that can hit the long ball, right? Like Oyama's come to life. Bohr is there. Sands is there. Even guys like Fukudome, who haven't, I think he's got one on the year, right? But just the same, he's still a threat. He's a home run threat, right? So you've got all these guys in here, and that means everybody's seeing better pitches because they can't really dance around guys like they have been able to in years past.
Well, this is exactly what I was hoping to see at the beginning of the season. I mean, albeit with different guys, maybe more guys, I guess, you know, now that Sands is getting in on this whole thing. But yeah, when you've got every guy producing, you know, yeah, you can't pitch around certain guys. You got to go after them all. And I think this is what we see happens when you have to do that.
Just imagine what's going to happen when we're actually firing on all cylinders, you know, like Nakatani and Yokawa and people like that who should be hitting dingers too.
Stop, you're getting me too excited here. I don't know if everybody's going to fire at the same time, but if we do, I mean, we could be looking more like the Yomiuri Giants, who I think currently, they might be punching above their weight, but they are heavyweights, you know, and they just don't lose. They don't want to lose. And so we find ourselves 4.5 back of them still. Anyways, let's continue on. So on Wednesday then, against these same Carp, Jerry Sands was clutch with a big, it was a home run, right? The go-ahead home run.
That's right.
To make it 2-1. And it was looking great until in the ninth inning, Yusuke Oyama, he threw one well over. I think it was Yokawa was on first that day. And he threw it well over Yokawa's head. And that ended up leading to them getting a couple of runs. So it's 3-2 for them going into the bottom of the ninth. Chikamoto, who has been struggling like crazy lately with the clutch RBI hit down the right field line. And that brings home the tying run, and we weren't able to get the go-ahead run in this one. We had a chance, I think, in the 10th inning as well to walk it off, and it just didn't happen. So the winning streak ends at 5. The undefeated streak extends to 6, but it ends the next day. We lost this one 4-2. Fujinami making his 2020 debut, and Yusuke Oyama giving him a present nice and early with a first inning 2-run home run. Talk about a man on fire. This is reminiscent of Oyama's September 2018, where I think he hit 9 dingers in a month. I think he's up to 8 now, and the month is not quite over, so he may match that. So there was that, but also a lot of strikeouts against Morishita, their rookie, and he really bore down on us and kept us quiet the rest of the game, and then their relievers somehow kept us quiet as well. Fujinami with 6 walks in 6-plus innings of work, and in the 6th inning, he had a couple of walks, and that ended up leading to a bases-loaded situation and a Grand Slam home run against him. And that was it, 4-2 loss. Thoughts on the series, but also thoughts on Fujinami's debut, guys. JD, what do you think?
Well, I mean, if you were watching, I mean, again, the walks pretty much say everything. His control was just not there. You know, he got to a lot of full counts. When you do that, you know, you leave yourself open to exactly what happened to him. So when you're walking that many guys, you know, that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. So this is just pretty much par for the course as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit of a new Fujinami, if you will, because his minor league numbers were so, you know, good. But we still saw flashes of the old Fujinami in there with the ball all over the place sometimes. And I really was hoping that Yano would pull him an inning before he did.
Right. Well, I'm gonna be his defense attorney here. A couple of things. First of all, the Carp are the best hitting team in NPB as far as average goes. And they do have a lot of guys that have very discerning eyes, like Seiya Suzuki, whom I think he walked at least once, if not twice. So it was a tough debut for him in that respect. I mean, if he had been up against the Dragons, I think we would have seen a different Fujinami. There might have been fewer walks. But also, he scattered just four hits, including that Grand Slam home run, through six-plus innings, which is quite solid against a team that was hitting that well. The other thing I noticed about him is he's not always going for the strikeout. I feel like he was actually pitching to contact a little bit more. He wasn't – I don't think he topped out at like – I mean, his best is 160 kilometers an hour, and I think he might have been – hitting 151, 152 on most of his pitches. Maybe his tops was like 155. So I don't think that he was trying to, you know, muscle the ball past everybody every time. And I think that was a good sign. The other one is that I think the only inning in which he walked multiple guys was that fatal sixth inning. And I think, like, if he can keep it to one walk, you know, he's averaging less than one hit per inning against. And so as far as that goes, I think I saw some positives, some things to build on. I don't think it's the same old Fujinami, and he also didn't look as rattled as in years past when he let guys on base, when he was walking guys. I don't think there were any wild pitches, I could be wrong, and there were no hit batsmen, so those are other positives we can take away from this start.
I will say, man, I think there were a couple pitches that might have been very close to that, but we've got Umeno behind the dish, so I think he really helped him out there.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, I believe that Fujinami is going to get another start this coming week, and it's going to be against the Yokohama Bay Stars. Again, that's no walk in the park for him. But wait,
he has his own Grand Slam of his own at against the Bay Stars, so you never know.
That's
okay,
right.
So he gives one up 1 week, and he gets one the next week. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So that's what we expect from you, Shintaro, and I know you're listening because Fukudome is listening and he'll make you listen as well. Okay, the last series was that we went back into Nagoya Dome, where we fare poorly year in and year out without fail. Whether the Dragons are a good team or not, we just seem to not find ways to win in their park. And Sanjay and I both said, if they can win one out of three, that's okay, as long as they take two out of three from the rest of those series. Well, we took two out of three. So they did us one better. Thank you so much, Hanshin Tigers. Aoyagi was very good in this one, aside from a little bit of control issues. But six innings of two-hit ball, two runs came across. But Hojo was clutch in this one, and Oyama with another home run. They're just piling up like crazy here. I mean, he's got, at this point, I think four in his previous six games. So pretty good stuff there. We win 5-2, so we break our losing streak in Nagoya. I think this one also put us over 500, not for the first time. We were over 500 after the first game against the Carp, but we're back over 500 here, which is great. And we've got our ace, Nishi, on the mound for the next game. And they've got some young guy named Katsuno who didn't do so well against us the time before. High hopes in this one, but it's back to the typical Nishi start. Last time he got 8 runs of support. This time he got a sweet 0. So we lose 1-0. They got their run on an infield single. There was no shame in that. Hojo did his best. I think it was Hojo or Kinami, I forgot, at short. Did their best to get it to first base, but not quite able to. To me, the deciding factor in this one was the first inning where we went for the bunt with Hojo. And I think Itoi led off with an infield hit, and then Hojo tried to bunt him over and failed. And I just thought, like, against a pitcher that really has not had a lot of good luck or good performances in Katsuno, why go for the first inning bunt? And, you know, the day before we'd gotten 5 runs already, so it's not like we're desperate for a run, like we can't score to save our lives. We're actually hitting the ball quite well. Hojo's hitting the ball quite well. I didn't like that call. And we can talk about that in the Yano section coming up soon. But that to me was one of the factors in this game that made the difference between a win and a loss. But the good news is that yesterday's game, the 26th of July, it was looking bad at the start. Through 4 innings, Iwasada dug his own grave by throwing a ball into center field when he had a chance at a double play. 3-0 for them after 4. But we got 1 run back in the 5th, and then Justin Bohr hit a home run in the 6th. And then it was in the top of the eighth that we blew the barn doors off of the barn with five runs. And that started actually with a couple of guys on base and Oyama up at the plate hitting into a double play. Now we've got two outs and a runner on second, but then the hit parade began with Fukudome and Umeno, and Kinami, I think, got on with an error, and then Yokawa walked, and then Chikamoto with a hit, and it just kept going on and on. And when the dust settled, it was a 9-3 win, and Oyama with another big home run. It was late in the game, and just as a side note, if you follow me on Twitter, you might have seen this, but I was watching the game on DAZN, so it was delayed, so you could accuse me of having already seen it, but I hadn't. Oyama came up to the dish. It's 7-3, one man on base. And I just quickly tweeted, I said, no pressure this time. Oyama's going to do just fine. And literally the next pitch, he went yard. So
that's so typical of that guy. He kind of had a little dig at himself too after the game. He's like, yeah, I really screwed up earlier when I had a chance to do something. So I don't really feel that particularly great about hitting, you know, a home run in the ninth inning when we're already up by five or whatever it was. So I think he sort of realized that, you know, that he should have contributed earlier on. But hey, you know, you'll take it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the guy's on fire, like we said. There's next episode we're doing our player of the month, and I mean, for hitter of the month, it's going to be hard to choose somebody other than him. But we still got a few games to see if anyone else will step up. Anyhow, there you go. Sanjay and I both said 7-5. We actually went 8-3-1 in that stretch, and are now a red hot 13-4-1 in our last 18 games. How you like them apples?
Crazy, man. It's crazy. I mean, think, you remember how depressing it was watching this team at the beginning of the season. They turned it around pretty quick, and they're a lot of fun to watch right now for sure.
And the question is, which one is the real Hanshin Tigers, right? I don't know if we are really as good as we've been lately, and I'm pretty sure we're not as bad as we were at the start of the year, but
I was gonna say, who'd have thunk it at the beginning, you know, when we were 2-11. So, yeah. But you know what? I think the one we got right now is the real Hanshin.
Here's to hoping. All right. Well, as much as we love our manager, Akihiro Yano, it's time to do a little digging into his life.
Wait, what did you do? Was that on purpose? Pull the whole outfield? Yano? Who's that? I've never heard of him before. Who is that? Yano.
So, you know, in a 13-4-1 stretch, it's hard to find fault in anything the manager is doing. I will say that Z-Man, who's done a couple of predictions with our show, I think he texted me about 3 weeks ago when the team was at its worst, and he said something like, I know that you like Yano, but I just think he's another fumbling, bumbling manager. So, Z-Man, in your face. But I've actually got a couple of bones to pick with our man, Yano. And they're really minor, as I said, especially at a time that we're doing so well. But one of them comes from one of the losses that we experienced early on. It was the 9-5 loss against the Swallows when there was a rain delay. It was like a 32-minute rain delay. And Garcia had pitched five innings of two-run ball at that point when the game was delayed. And I think it was a tie game at that point. And he came in and gave up a couple of more runs in the sixth inning. And I've just never really seen that from a manager, where typically after a rain delay, you know, your pitcher has maybe cooled off, maybe his shoulder, his, you know, his everything is a little bit off. And you don't usually keep the same guy in. Like, even if it's in like the third inning, I've seen them switch pitchers just because it's just not the same after they've had that time where they're, you know, cool off. So I really didn't like that decision. Even when it happened, I wondered why Garcia was in. And then, you know, we can look in the rearview mirror and say, see, I told you so. But I was kind of saying it all along. But let's look on a positive of what Yano has done. And I read an article about how he talked to Justin Bour. And this was actually, this goes back a couple of weeks before this show, or the fortnight of this show. But apparently during a game on June the 30th, Justin Bour was maybe lazy about running out a ground ball or something like that. And Yano wanted to give him a talk about that and say, look, like, this is not what our team is about. Our team runs out the ground balls. You know, we're putting on a show for the fans, and we're showing them in our attitude on the field. We want to be, well, I don't know if he said this, but, you know, we want to be heroes to them. The fans are looking to us to be entertained, and they don't want to see stuff like that. But what Yano did was he waited for a time when there was nobody else around. There was no press. There were no teammates around. He took Bour and an interpreter aside, and they had a talk about it there. So I thought that was really classy. I think it was I read that it was on the Shinkansen between Nagoya and Hiroshima. So it was during that road trip. But I just think that's a good job showing some sensitivity to somebody who, you know, obviously has come over here with great expectation and also probably has, you know, an ego just like baseball players do. And he said, I'm not going to humiliate this guy, or I'm not going to call him out in the press. I'm going to do this one-on-one. And it got leaked to the press, but good on him for doing that. Finally, and this is going to lead right into the hot topic, we've had a lot of injuries, as I said, but that has resulted in a lot of call-ups. And recently, a couple of guys in particular I've seen called up where I kind of raised my eyebrow and said, really? Like, do we need these guys up? And they were both drafted a few years back in the same draft, and those would be Takahiro Kumagai and Kairi Shimada have both been called up. I think Kumagai was to replace Marte when Marte was put on the DL, and then Kairi Shimada was for I think essentially it was to replace Itohara, but I think it was in place of a pitcher that was sent down. But either way, I just feel like right now we've got so many puny speedsters in our lineup, and I just wonder, like, is there really a need for that? Are there not other guys on the farm that could fill the roles a little bit better or make us a little bit beefier of a bench with a little bit more options than we've got? So we're going to talk about this actually right now. Let's jump right into the hot topic. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Hot topics. Hot topics. So today's topic basically is what the bench consists of and who's there right now and are they the right guys for the job right now. And so first we're going to break down actually, I want to talk to you guys about this, kind of do like a brainstorming session, but what is the purpose of having these guys on the bench? Let's just kind of like flesh this out. Why do we have these guys on the bench? And we're not talking specific names, but what are the roles that the bench players fill that make them indispensable? And so I'll start. Obviously, the first one is that they need to be there to replace guys if there's an injury on the field. We need those kind of emergency replacement players, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what other things do the bench guys do for the team?
Well, I mean, I guess the idea is that later on in the game, if you get like a big guy like Justin Bour gets on base and you want to make sure that you can get the run in, if there's a hit, that you put a speedster on there and pinch run for him. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you also need a defensive replacement for, you know, suspect fielders as the game, you know, is more in hand or not, I guess. But yeah, you want to be able to do that, upgrade your defense when you need to hold the other team.
Then there's also, I mean, if a guy is just performing really poorly at the plate for the whole game, you know, clearly he's having trouble with the pitcher or whatever, you can throw someone else in there and, you know, see if that sticks as well. So there's that.
I would also say you need somebody, well, it's pinch hitter, which is kind of obvious, but it's the clutch hitter slash like the guy that's going to replace the pitcher in the hitting order. So you need that guy maybe late in the game where you need the run and you've either got like a weaker hitter, like just for example, and I said no names, but like a guy like Kinami, who's not performing particularly well, and you might want to pinch hit for him when you're really in need of that one hit to get the tying run home. One more thing that I think is overlooked and we don't think about, and it's kind of an intangible thing, but it's leadership slash like mood making, I guess you could say, or just getting you know, the bench into the game and, you know, shouting out to your own players. I think that's important as well. You can have those leadership guys on the field, but it's also kind of good to sometimes have one on the bench as well, who can maybe even talk to the other guys on the bench and say, like, look, what would you do in this situation? Or what kind of hitting are we looking for right here? That kind of stuff. Anything else that you think, any roles that these guys perform or should be performing? And we're only talking about the hitters right now. We can talk a little bit about pitchers as well, but anything else on the hitters?
Unless you want to go down the path of your favorite topic and say you need like a designated bunter.
I'll agree with that in the sense that you need a guy that has got the skills to do what the manager needs at that point of the game, right? Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, if you need somebody to lay down the bunt, you do need somebody with that skill. And I mean, I look at some of our players who I would never want to call on for a bunt, and that includes some of the guys that are on the bench. Whereas other guys, you would say, yeah, when you need somebody to lay that one down the line or whatever, here's our guy, right? So that's a fair one, yeah. Okay, so what about the bullpen? I mean, obviously there's, you know, there's roles like the closer and the setup guy, right? But what else do we need out of our bullpen?
You need an inning eater for games we're behind.
So are you talking like kind of a mop-up kind of guy?
Yeah, mop-up sounds too horrible, actually. But you need somebody that can, like, literally eat up the innings that you need somebody to pitch.
Well, save your other arms for the next day if the game is already out of hand, yeah, so you don't have to use up all your good guys, yeah.
So kind of a long relief type of guy, then.
Yeah, that's more. That's a nicer way to put it.
Yeah, and I think the long relief also comes in handy, like, well, if we branch back to the past fortnight, like when Nakata really struggled or when Iwasada struggled yesterday, right? Like, you need a guy that's going to be able to come in and get more than three outs. Because you want to be able to get to the back end of your bullpen, but if your starter's getting pulled in the third or fourth because of bad performance, yeah, you need somebody to take you all the way there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So we got closer, setup, long relief / inning eater, and then there is mop up duty as well, right? I mean, it's kind of the same, but it's different. Like when you're getting blown out, or when you know what I mean, like, you don't want to use, for example, like Suarez when the score is 8-3 for the other team. But you got to get to the end of the game, right? So you got guys like that. So I think those are kind of the four main roles, I guess, right? I mean, like your closer, your setup guys, your long relief inning eaters, and your mop up guys. Because I suppose like long relief inning eater would be like an injury replacement type of thing as well. If a pitcher goes down, or if a pitcher happens to, you know, bean a guy in the head with a pitch and he gets kicked out of the game.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Somebody else is going to come in. And so we've seen guys fill that role as well. Okay, so now let's go back to the hitters, and let's look at some of the guys that we have on the top squad now that are not regulars. In other words, like, these are the guys that are mostly just hanging out on the bench, and they might occasionally get a start, or they might come in for a couple of innings, but this is what I've got. We've got Seishiro Sakamoto and Fumihito Haraguchi, the catchers. We've got Takahiro Kumagai, Naomasa Yokawa, Kai Ueda, the infielders. And then we've got Taiga Egoshi, Kairi Shimada, and Masahiro Nakatani, the outfielders. And then like guys like Fukudome are a little bit flexed. Like, they've gotten some starts and they've gotten some, you know, bench start type of thing. So that's what I've got for those guys. But let's look at it now. Like, what roles do these guys fill? I mean, Sakamoto has almost literally gotten into no games. I think I've seen him catch one inning. And I don't even think that he's pinch hit even once. I could be wrong. Have you guys seen him more than that?
He started one game at the start of the season, didn't he?
At the start of the year, yeah. Okay, so that was before he got sent down and then called back up. You're right. He did have that one start.
The reason he's there is so Haraguchi can be used as a pinch hitter. That's all it is, right? Because you need a catcher in case the catcher gets hurt. So he's not going to see any action, I think, in principle.
Right, right. I mean, that's kind of the idea. I wouldn't mind him getting a start or two here and there, like maybe once a week or something like that, simply because if we overwork Umeno and if he goes down like everybody else has been going down with injury, we are screwed, man. He is our team MVP right now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about that. I feel like Yano might have gone overboard in the opposite direction. Like, he was kind of tossing it up with catchers toward the beginning of the season, and it didn't seem to work out very well, so we just stuck Umeno in there straight through, which is good, because Umeno's good, obviously, but if you overwork the guy, then you're in trouble. And yeah, I feel like it might be time to start interspersing Sakamoto in there now and then.
Yeah. So then, as we talked about already with Haraguchi, I mean, basically his role is, it really has not been a catching role anymore. He might get a couple of innings behind the mask, if that, but he's kind of in the clutch hitter role as far as this goes, right? As far as the bench duties or roles. I don't really see anything else for him. He's not a defensive replacement. He's not the second guy, or he's not the first guy off the bench if Umeno gets hurt, right? So I really think that's it. He's just the clutch hitter.
Well, you could maybe, after he pinch hits, you could throw him in the field at first base or something if you want to keep his bat in there.
Sure, sure, yeah. That option is available as well, yeah. Or, I mean, he could be the catcher. Like, if Umeno, for example, has already had his final at-bat of the game, you know, but Haraguchi might be able to come back up one more time or whatever. Like, he could go in at catcher. Okay, so Kumagai. What is Kumagai's role on this team? Obviously, he is the pinch runner, but what else do you see with him?
Not much. I don't know, man.
My answer is I don't know. I don't know what he's there for.
Yeah. Is he, well, I mean, he ended up coming up at the end of that game against the Carp. I think he was the final out of the game, if I'm not mistaken. It was either him or Ueda. But I remember he struck out to end one of the games, whether it was the tie or the loss, I don't remember. But just when I saw him at the plate, I was like, I don't think this guy has any business taking an at bat. And, yeah. So, I mean, he's marginally, I guess, a defensive replacement, but he's maybe not like, he's not outstanding at defense, or he's not maybe, you know, head and shoulders above the guy that's in there anyways, because he's a middle infielder. And he played, I think he played at third, and actually got an error in yesterday's game. So, yeah. What about Yokawa? I mean, Yokawa, he's almost become like a utility guy. He's done a lot of different things for the team. And surprisingly, this is a guy I wasn't sold on, and I'm still not fully sold on. But he's actually had a decent role in the past fortnight for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the original idea, right, was that he was going to be the slugger type, right? He was just sort of in there to sort of fill that role, but he hasn't really done that, but he's still shown himself to be pretty useful, I think. So maybe even if he isn't hitting home runs all the time, he is a good guy to have on the squad at this point.
Well, I've seen him pinch, not pinch bunt, but he did lay down a sack bunt. So he's not the designated bunter, but he can do it. I've seen him replace for injury because he started at first when Bohr was out for a while. He's actually got a stolen base. He would never be a top choice for pinch runner, but he is a decent base runner. He's been a clutch hitter at times in his career, and he could be a performance switch as well. So the only thing I maybe don't see him doing is leadership.
Yeah, he plays a few different positions too, I suppose. So, I mean, although his defense is, I guess, isn't particularly, you know, might not be golden glove material, you know, but he can still fill a few different roles in the field. So,
yeah, true, true. Kai Ueda, obviously he is a pinch runner of all pinch runners. And I mean, I would put him above Kumagai, not necessarily in raw speed, but certainly maybe in discernment as far as when to go for the stolen base. But also Ueda just seems to come up in these like key moments and kind of have these boneheaded errors as well. If you remember his error in center field, that was the undoing of QG on that one day. I mean, QG does plenty to undo himself, but Ueda didn't help. And then also, if you remember going back to last year where Takayama hit a line drive to left field, and instead of tagging up, I think he'd gotten a sign from the bench to just go on contact, but he was doubled up on what could have been the game-tying run. It was like the game-ending line drive into a double play. So I don't know. Ueda maybe doesn't always have the smarts, but I think he's definitely got the legs to be the pinch runner, defensive replacement, and again, somewhat utility in that he could play center field, although he's shown that it's not his forte.
Not only that, but I just read how Yano was saying with a performance like he just had the other day, it's hard to, you know, not to try and give him a starting job somewhere.
Hey, this is a guy whose OPS is currently 1.025, and it's a very small sample size. And it's mostly because he's got a couple of walks. So his hitting, his average is 400, his slug is 400 as well, and then his on base is 625. But still, I mean, he's showing growth. And, you know, he's not a liability on defense, whereas like a guy like Hojo could be seen as that, right? He's an asset on the base path. And if he can get on base, well, then that's, you know, double the fun right there. All right. I feel really bad for Taiga Egoshi. He's been used as a defensive replacement and he's been used as a pinch runner, and he's good at both of those. But I feel like the team has at all costs, other than yesterday's pinch hit, or he came around, I think his turn came up in the order. I don't think he was a pinch hitter. He has gotten like almost no plate appearances, and I feel bad for the guy. It's almost like they're saying, and I mean, they have, when his turn has come up in the order, when he was a defensive replacement, they've pinch hit for him in the past, you know, and I just feel like, poor guy, he is not given any chance at all. And I mean, he's gotten plenty of opportunity.
He feels like one of those guys where his potential just hasn't been realized yet for some reason. It's too bad because we've been waiting for a while. You know, he's been on the team for a long time now, but you know, he's relatively quick, you know, and he's obviously got some natural like raw power to him as well. Yep. So man, if he could put those two things together, he'd be a huge asset, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Agreed. Okay, the most recent call-up was Kairi Shimada. He also got a plate appearance yesterday, and I think he grounded out to second. Another super speedster. I mean, he grounded out to second, and he was only out by a half step. So he's again a guy. He's an outfielder, right? Wears number 53. The expectation was he would be the next Akahoshi. But he's a defensive... I don't know if he's a defensive replacement. He's a pinch runner. And so, like, I see right now that we've got, like, four potential guys that could pinch run on the top squad in Shimada, Egoshi, Ueda, and Kumagai. And I just think that's a bit excessive. I think maybe two is enough. And if these guys could fulfill other roles, like guys like Kumagai and Shimada, if they could fulfill other roles other than just being a pinch runner, I would welcome them aboard. And then the last guy is Masahiro Nakatani, who has come around fairly well recently. He started to hit the ball a little bit. No home runs yet, but he's a guy that I think can be used in multiple ways as well. Defensive replacement, clutch hitter, performance switch, stuff like that. He's got stuff like that. And he's also got experience. He's now in his 10th year with the team. And I don't know if he's so much a vocal leader per se, but I think he's a guy that would get nice and vocal on the bench. Like, I mean, he'd be shouting out to his mates and stuff like that. So I think he's got that role. I think he's pretty good in that role as well. All right. As far as the bullpen goes, this one's a little bit trickier just because, you know, we've got our guys that we need, right, and that are playing regularly. But then we've got guys like yesterday we saw actually almost all of these guys for the first time in ages. And those would be guys that I had tagged as like not getting much playing time out of the bullpen. Joe Gunkel, Atsushi Mochizuki, Ippei Ogawa, and Kazuo Ito. These are four guys that I just kind of wonder, like, what are you doing? Like, when are we going to use you, or how are we going to use you? And Gunkel appears to just be a one-inning guy, but I feel like he could definitely be a long relief type of guy because we got him as a starter, and he was, you know, initially penned as a starter. So I think he could go like three innings out of the bullpen if we decide to keep him there and not try and put him back in the rotation. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I got my first actually live look of Gunkel, you know, this past week, and I like what I saw. And I'm with you. He could be that you know, long relief guy in when needed, and I think he brings something to the table. He has a lot to offer to us. So yeah, I like him.
Man, on Saturday he came in and finished off Nishi's job with an eighth inning, six pitches to get out their cleanup.
Yeah,
three guys, six pitches, pretty solid stuff. Mochizuki came in yesterday, and he had a bit of a. He came in actually. When we were still behind, because Nomi got one guy out and then they advanced their runner to second base. And then Mochizuki came in to face their righties and did a pretty stand-up job against them. I don't know where there's room for him, but I kind of feel like maybe if Iwazaki is out, I feel like maybe he could land the setup role. He's got gas, throwing around 155 on average with his fastball. I think he's been kind of underused, but I kind of wonder because he's also got the experience that maybe some of the other guys like Ogawa and Ito don't have, and even Gunkel. Mochizuki is going into his fifth year, which is not too much, but it certainly is more than the other guys, right? Ogawa, the rookie. Ito, who is actually in his ninth year with the team, but very few appearances on the top squad and not looking too good either. And then Gunkel in his first year as well. So I feel like maybe Mochizuki becomes the seventh inning guy if Iwazaki doesn't come back soon. Or maybe, I don't know, is QG the seventh inning guy? Ooh, shudder. I don't know. And then Ippei Ogawa made an appearance again yesterday. It was his first in a long time. I think he gave up a couple of hits, but they were pretty soft hits and had a shutout inning. So after his yips in Tokyo Dome, where he did absolutely awful at the start of the year, he's actually started to come around a little bit. But he's quite seldom used, and I just kind of wonder, like, is he the best man for the job right now, or is he just a placeholder for, like, when Kuwahara or Shimamoto or Moriya gets healthy again?
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, you know, how many of these guys, you know, wouldn't be up here if those three guys were healthy and producing well? So I mean, you got to throw what you've got at the problem, and I think what they've got right now is Ogawa, right, as opposed to someone like Shimamoto.
I don't know this is one of those Yano things for me. I'm not sure what he's trying to do with Ogawa because he seems to be throwing him, you know, baptism by fire one day and then bring him back the next day. And, you know, when you have other arms as well, and he was overmatched to begin with, they should like bring him along a little bit slower.
Yeah, I think like Yano has got his share of kind of pet projects or guys that he feels like, I really want this guy to succeed. And I think that Kazuo Ito falls into that as well. When Yano was the farm manager a couple of years back, Ito was the closer on the farm and did a pretty good job. And this is a guy that's 30 years old, and I think he's maybe thrown a total of 20 top squad innings in his life. But I think, you know, despite the fact that he has been quite shaky during his time on the top squad, I think that because Yano used him on the farm with success, he wants to see him succeed, and he continues to put him in. But I think he's a space filler, really, until these guys get healthy. And I don't know who our other options are that could come in and fill the role otherwise. I think like maybe like a guy like Iwata, he's been pretty good on the farm, and maybe it's time for him to be a bullpen guy. He could be a guy that comes in and performs well. I don't know what's going on with Taiki Ono or with Hiroto Saiki. And then even like a guy like Masumi Hamachi, who's going into his fourth year and is still just, 22 years old. He got a call-up, but he didn't even get the cup of coffee before he got sent back down. He replaced Gunkel and spent 10 days up on the top squad without a single appearance and then went back down. But what are their plans for him, or what are his plans for his time with the Tigers? I don't know. So, and then another guy I've got hope for is Yukiya Saito, who's in his second year and just a big flamethrowing guy. I think he could come in and do some damage as well if he is given the chance. Another quick question about the bullpen guys. What have you thought about Kosuke Baba so far? He's been given pitching time like never before going into his third year. And any thoughts on him?
Well, it just about gave me a heart attack in one of those games, I think. Where
only one.
We made it out of the bases loaded jam and with a really lucky double play, I think. But man, oh man, yeah, I start to get nervous. My fingernails are about as short as they'll ever be, I think, once he's in the game.
I like what I see. I like what I see from him, actually. And I like the way they're trying to do the right thing for him and bringing him along, I think. And I wish they would have done given Ogawa a similar kind of treatment. But I think that Baba is going to develop to the point where you're going to like seeing him, you know, and he's going to be able to close things out. He could be the closest thing to the closer, basically, that we haven't had in a while.
He's got some really good breaking pitches. And when those pitches are on, I mean, he's getting guys chasing all sorts of junk. But at the same time, there's times where it's not happening, and his fastball isn't enough. He can't live on his fastball alone. So if his breaking stuff isn't working, he's screwed. And I think that's what's kind of happened a couple times, JD, when he's been put in games, and maybe Umino has seen, like, oh man, like, there's no bite on his breaking stuff, or, you know, guys are not chasing it. And when that happens, you know, he's not able to throw it consistently enough for strikes, and his fastball is not fooling anybody unless his other stuff is on. So if he can refine some of that stuff, I think he's going to be fine. But right now, yeah, he certainly is. He's an adventurous roller coaster ride for fans.
And it might be, you know, I mean, obviously, I don't know this 100%, but it might just be a playing time thing as well. He didn't really seem entirely at home on the mound a couple of times. He seemed like he was pretty nervous and jittery. And so, you know, that might sort of smooth out a little bit as he gets more time on the top squad. So that's what I hope anyway.
Sure hope so, yeah. All right, boys, it is time to wrap things up, but let's look at the upcoming schedule. Before that, let's do some predicting.
What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be?
So we've got ourselves four more series to try and build up on our one game above 500. We are in Tokyo for 3 against the Swallows, and then we come home for 6, 3 against the Bay Stars and 3 against the Giants, and then we head out to Hiroshima for 3 against those Carp. So I think the going gets a little bit tougher than it's been in recent weeks, where we got 2 nice series against the Dragons and went 5-1 against them. We are facing the surprising second-place Swallows, the Bay Stars, who, after a bit of a slump, are starting to heat back up, although their closer is wet in the bed like never before. and they've also got Austin Powers back, so we got to look out for that. And then the Giants, who are red hot, and then the Hiroshima Carp. Here's one more thing that is of interest to me, and this is pointed out to me by somebody on Twitter. Have you noticed that in our schedule, we have always been facing the team that just went up against the Giants? And that might have something to do with our hot streak. I don't want to take anything away from our guys, but when other teams are maybe, you know, going all out to try to beat the Giants and coming up short, they're coming to us a little bit mentally and physically fatigued. And that follows again. The Swallows just got humiliated by the Giants in a couple of games over the weekend, and we face them next. And yeah, I think that's going to fare well for us in this series. But what do you guys think in these 12 games? Real quick, what's the 12-game record going to look like? Sanjay.
I'm going to do the same thing I did last time and say we're going to be 7-5, and then I'm going to hope that I miss on the downside here.
JD.
I'm going to go 6-6. I'm going to say we split the whole thing.
All right. I'm going to go right in between you guys, because this is not The Price is Right, so I don't have to go just a dollar over you. I'm going to say we go 6-5-1, because we're long overdue for a tie. There's been a lot of ties in NPB this year, and we only go 10 innings, so I think there's going to be one tie somewhere in there. 6-5-1, we continue to rise a little bit. little by little. So there you have it, everybody. Let's see which one of us is closest, and hopefully we didn't all overbid. So thank you so much, everybody, as always, for tuning into H10. And if you have not gotten your fill of Tigers news, check us out on Patreon for more exciting benefits. There's always some good content going on there. I'm doing extra videos, I'm putting out extra articles, and that's all for the people that show H10 a little bit of extra love. You can also check out our website, as always, thehunchingtigers.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thehunchingtiger, Instagram, @hunchingtigersenglishnews, and Facebook, Hunching Tigers English News. All those details are in the show notes. JD, Sanjay, it's been fun chatting with you guys.
Always a pleasure.
Same to you. Hang in there in the hurricane over there, Sanjay.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. It's looking a little dark outside now, and it's only 5 p.m., so getting ready to hunker down. But great as always talking to you guys, and 頑張れ Hunching Tigers.
Run for shelter, and catch you all next time, everybody.